So would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Jessica from Smoke Fairies.
I'm Kath.
And boy, you're soft-spoken.
It was just that I didn't know whether to say Kath or Catherine, because sometimes I'm Kath and sometimes I'm Catherine, so I just kind of softly decide.
Well, let's decide. Let's start right here with this. Who do you want to be?
I guess Kath is more punchy. It's only one syllable.
Okay, well, let's settle it right here then. From here on in, for the rest of your life, you want to be punchy.
Okay, let's settle it.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think she should be punchy?
Well, I think she already is punchy.
I'll fill in a few blanks. In the mix is New Orleans and Vancouver, which we have to go over, because Vancouver, I know, was an interesting moment and in how you got there, you know, back to London. But let's get into some things that really inform the music a little bit, that might be a little better than...
Wow, you're putting me on the spot.
Of course I am.
I think that I'd rather let the music kind of speak for itself. I'd rather people listen to the album without any notions of what it should be based on our bio or our history. I don't want people to get any ideas of what it should sound like based on the fact we've lived in New Orleans or Vancouver or London. I just want them to listen to it and put their own experience to it. I still think, I mean, with the internet, there's so many YouTube videos and interviews out there. It's harder for artists to be more mysterious, but...
Yeah, I think the internet hasn't necessarily had that effect, though. I mean, basically, when you put a video out onto YouTube, you are, in a sense, alienating yourself from it because there's no real connection to your bio anymore and your history. There's a kind of thing floating around that people can find and a friend can tell them about, and I think... Actually, the internet's had the opposite effect. There's more saturation, but there's more chance for mystery. There's a lot of things that, like, just the period of waiting. I mean, there's that song by Arcade Fire called "We Used to Wait," which I really like, and it's about, I think, kind of about how letters, like, they used to write letters and they used to wait for the response, and there used to be a kind of heartache in that, and a kind of an emotion to do with receiving communication with someone, whereas now it's so instantaneous that we're kind of disconnected from that person in a sense, because we don't feel that longing.
Is it true that a travel brochure got you to Vancouver and that it didn't quite turn out to be what you wanted it to be?
Yeah,
is that a wives' tale, or is that true?
It's true. I guess we were, after living in New Orleans, we came back to England and we were kind of fed up with it and we wanted another adventure. We wanted to go somewhere else, and it was just literally looking through travel brochures and we saw this vision of some mountains and the sea and skyscrapers, and you can immediately just think, wow, I could be in one of those buildings living this amazing life. And obviously your imagination never kind of lives up to what reality is, but it was an amazing year.
Wasn't part of it that to you London was kind of too much, so to speak?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we grew up in the country and London's an intense city. I mean, we've lived there for quite a few years now and it's taken us a really long time to feel like it's home.
One of the things that I always like to ask is, Do you have a sense of what's going on and where it all stands?
We really have no idea. I mean, I think one thing that I find difficult about this whole journey is the fact that people have this perception of you as being somehow free to create and free to travel. And as a musician, you have this kind of almost, I don't know, carefree lifestyle. But it's not like that. And it's very difficult. And you have no money for a long time, and you know, everything's a pressure. And I think in a lot of ways that helps you to create and helps you to think more, because you're on the line, you know, you've chosen this path, and if you fail, you've only got yourself to blame, and people are going to say, well, I told you it was a stupid idea, and you know,
wow.
You kind of don't really feel that kind of like security. Like, I'm very proud of what we've done. And I feel there's a lot of potential. And I know that I believe in it, but you've got to prove that to other people. And I don't know, you know, I feel uncertain but determined.
I mean, we're thinking about the new record at the moment, and there's just so many different ways it could go, so many different ways it could be received. It's very, very exciting, but we just have no idea what we're going to make.
I don't really want to hear the same old, you know, we went into, you know, an environment and we cornered Jack White and we handed him our stuff. I just did that story for you. What I'm more interested in is, you know, did you do it in his studio in the backyard there? Did you do it right in the place? It was hard work, right?
I mean, it was hard because we had a vision for the song. And, you know, you go in and you just don't... We hadn't had any time to work out the way he likes to work or what the speed of the process was. And it was a very fast process. Before, when we'd gone into studios, we're quite precious with thinking, oh, did I get that vocal exactly right? And I have a very specific idea for how I want this to sound. But we had just had to relinquish all control of whatever was going on. And it was a good learning experience, because if that hadn't happened, when would you get the chance to actually have someone saying, no, I'm doing this now. You have to do it this way.
You have to give up certain things, I would imagine, for the ability to have that, right?
I guess it depends. There's different producers have different ways of working. I mean, when we did our album with Head,
yes,
he was there to just help us get what was in our heads down on record the way that we wanted it to be done. But I'm sure a lot of other producers have different ways where they just want to dissect the song and make it their own. And I don't know whether I could ever work with a producer like that, because, I mean, at the moment we're spending a lot of time doing demos and putting a lot of thought into the album. And although it's nice to have someone say, I don't think you've got the right idea with this song, it's also good to have them say, well, go back and rethink it, rather than someone telling you how it should be.
I guess I was... I kind of find it hard to accept that someone who is, you know, really successful and who I respect a lot would kind of listen to our songs and say they're good, I want to work with it. And so I suppose there was a kind of feeling at first with me where I just kind of had to step outside of that kind of insecurity that I feel a lot, and kind of let myself just go with it. And for me, that was the best part of the experience, because I felt really encouraged. I've always had like 100% confidence from the minute me and Jessica started singing together that there was something special that I wasn't going to find anywhere else. And it was important for me to kind of, you know, stay on that path. But it's a long and hard process. And I think when something like that happens, it's not to do with the music industry. It's to do with someone genuinely liking the music that you play. And you can get quite beaten down by, you know, the kind of industry side of things. And to have a kind of creative perspective in a positive way, and to just, I don't know, I guess there was a feeling of validation, I suppose. Like, this is, you know, no one can take away from us that we did that record. And I love it, so...
It has a real live feeling that we wouldn't have got any other way, I think.
Everybody's like, well, it's a dark record. You know, and I'm like, well, yeah, the cover is kind of black. It's a dark record.
The term dark is kind of overused. I mean, what does it really mean? It's just a reflection of a side of people. It's just the things they think about. I mean, the things you think about that you wouldn't necessarily say. That's all that dark is to me.
How much have people heard? There's a lot of things that people here haven't heard yet.
Before we released the stuff that's come out so far, we had been writing songs for a long time, and we just didn't have the means to put them out. And we did things independently, but there's only so much you can put out by yourself, you know. And so, yeah, there was a lot of songs that never really saw the light of day. And then there's songs we're writing all the time that, you know, we're trying to choose between for the new album. I think... we've just kind of, I think for this next album we're going to have so many songs that it's going to be difficult to decide what the, I think it's just a matter of playing it with the band and see what sticks.
How much do you care about being huge here?
For a start, I don't think we've ever been musicians who've been hyped. I think all our fans have heard about us through friends or just on podcasts or from other musicians who said we're good, and I'm really kind of proud of the organic way that we've kind of built our fan base, and I'd just love it if that continued to grow here in the US. I mean, it may take 5 years, but I mean, already we're coming here on tour and people have all our everything we've ever released. They come up to the merch stand for us to sign it, and it's just, I don't know how they found it, but it's amazing.
Coming to America is just, it feels like it's always been the place that, like, I feel like I've escaped to, in, like, metaphorically or, you know, in terms of, like, listening to music and physically in terms of, like, when we came here to live when we were younger. And I still feel that when I come here now. Like, I can't really... In England, I feel very, like, everything's very gritty and real, and I really, you know, you're struggling and you're doing your best. And whereas in America, it's like... I just feel like I can't really, I don't come with the same burdens. I guess just the space that you have to cover is so vast and so different. I mean, you go through so many different landscapes here. You can't really compare it to England. I mean, it's like being in a completely different land. I mean, it is a different land. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't feel the same emotions that I have when I'm in England. I don't feel so crushed.
Okay, I always look for the one bunch of words in a review that drives me crazy. And this was the backhanded compliment. I wonder if you know where this is from. Okay. They gave the record a very good review, and then they said, "Too lovely and woozy for its own good."
I get what they're saying. I mean,
do you know who it is?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I understand. It's like our sound can be quite luscious in a way, almost kind of indulgent, you know, layering of sounds and interweaving of guitars and kind of like melodies kind of interplaying. And I can see how you could think it was sort of too lovely in a way. And it's just, we can feel ourselves sort of changing and developing, and you know, we just want to embrace that. That's all.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between is the ingredients.